Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is part two of a five-part series entitled Joyride, and today's specific message is entitled Worth Stopping For, based off of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 and verses 16 through 21. So, let us dive into the Word today. First, verses 1 through 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. And verses 16 through 21. What you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. It was the evening of Friday, January 7th, 2000. We were picking up my wife, Bernadette's, wedding dress in a shop on Route 23 in Wayne, New Jersey. Now, if you're not familiar with New Jersey or Wayne or Route 23, let it suffice to tell you that it is an extremely busy highway, multi-lane highway, with intersections and lights and people going in all directions. I think what many people would have a picture of when they think of New Jersey and driving in this particular state. It's one of the more populated areas, and then it just gets more and more populated from there toward New York City. So you have Wayne, then Patterson, and then, just keeps getting more and more populated. So we were picking up her wedding dress in a shop on Route 23 in Wayne. And following that, I began to drive directly to, Bloomingdale, where we were going to get married in the United Methodist Church there, but we were driving to our wedding rehearsal. We were going to get married the next day on January 8th. And then it happened. The car began to stutter, and then it stalled right in the middle of Route 23 in Wayne. And as I said before, if you know that part of the highway, if you know Route 23 in Wayne, you know that is not the place you want to be stalling. You want your car to stall. And thankfully, I was able to coast the car over to the side of the road. And once safely on the side of the road, I began to see red. I was so mad that this had happened. You see, earlier in the day, Bernadette had been driving, and I saw the tank was low and suggested she get gas, and she told me she would at some point. And later on still, I saw that the gas got to check gauges and suggested she get gas, and she said she would, and then began to tell me how far the car can go on check gauges. You can go quite far on it. I think 20 miles or something like that you get before it actually runs out of gas. Well, after multiple attempts to have her get gas, we both got busy. I mean, it was a busy day. We were preparing for this and preparing for that for the wedding. We both got busy running errands and forgot completely about getting it. We just kept going place to place to place to place to place. And when that car stalled out, I was panicking. Everything seemed hopeless. And I was fuming, pun not intended, because we could have avoided it all. Now, thankfully, my best man, Kevin, was in the car with us and saw how upset I was and offered to walk with Bernadette to the nearest gas station to get gas. Enough gas anyway to get us to the station where we could fill it up. And he knew that would give me enough time to cool off, and he was right. But that put a bit of a damper on our wedding rehearsal night. It didn't kill it. And, you know, by the next day, I had to apologize for getting that upset. And she, you know, we worked it out. And obviously she felt bad that we had stalled in the middle of the road. We look back on it now, and of course we laugh about it. It all worked out in the end. And actually, looking back, it was really silly that I got so heated over something so trivial. I mean, here we were, and here I was about to get married to the person I love. And I mean, this coming January, we'll have been married 20 years. So clearly we both chose right. We were meant to be together. We love each other to this day. It was really just something so silly to get upset over. And yet, because I panicked, and was afraid we were going to be late and was frustrated that we never got gas when we could have, I let that get the better of me. Now, running out of gas and or breaking down happens in our life of faith as well. Have you ever been in a place in your spiritual journey where you felt like you were running on empty? When you should be praying more or getting involved in small groups or missions, yet you can't muster the energy? Or you appear to have it all together, doing all the right things, but your soul is on empty? When you should be putting more spiritual fuel in your tank, but you forget and or neglect to do so? In today's scripture reading, we find the disciples in the upper room on Pentecost. Now, prior to that moment, they were in hiding and afraid for their lives. They were empty, actually. They had been drained of everything. They'd just watched, a few weeks before, they'd just watched their master and teacher, the one they'd spent 3 years of their lives with, and had abandoned everything, including their families and their careers, to do so. He had just been crucified as a criminal. Now, yeah, they of course Jesus rose from the dead, and yes, they saw him, and yes, he kept instructing them for 40 days afterwards, and then he ascended, and they were left there not really sure what to make of any of it. They were drained. They were exhausted, exasperated. Before, you know, Jesus left them, he set their path for them. And he had given them a world-changing mission. But you can imagine the conversations they had walking down the mountain where Christ ascended, looking to get back to reality, returning to their day-to-day lives with the feeling of being completely empty and wondering how to manage all they were commanded by Jesus to do. The apostles needed a way to move forward, but they were stalling out. It would have been easier for them to go out and work, to begin doing the ministry Christ called them to do. It would have been easier for them to do that. Just to, you know what, we're going to dive headfirst in and do it. To see if it worked and cut their losses, if not. But Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem. So there they were, stalled out in Jerusalem, feeling the same panic, I'm sure, if actually worse of a panic than I was feeling on the road in Route 23 in Wayne. And then with a sweeping wind and tongues of fire, God poured out the Holy Spirit on these empty followers of Jesus. The filling of the Holy Spirit mobilized the apostles to go out into the world, filled with the necessities to make the journey happen and to complete the journey. They had the power through the Holy Spirit. And when people thought they were drunk, Peter dismissed those claims. He proclaimed that this new power was from God. They weren't drunk, but they were filled with God's Holy Spirit. Now that stop in the journey, that delay which led to their waiting in the upper room, ended up filling them for the mission Jesus had planned for them. Friends, what I hope you learn today is this. In order for a road trip to be a joyride, you need to realize the journey matters as much as the arrival at your destination. And that's something I didn't realize when we stalled out on the road in Wayne. I didn't realize that, yeah, we were trying to get to the wedding rehearsal, and that was important, and we needed to get there. But the journey to it was just as important. And I learned that, you know, if I'm gonna be successful in this marriage, I can't be going flying off the lid like that. I can't be getting upset at every little bump in the road. Otherwise, what happens? You know, what happens when couples can't handle every little mistake and oversight and every little bump that they hit in their marriage? The marriage fails. Friends, I hope you learned that in order for a road trip to be a joyride, you need to realize the journey matters as much as the arrival at your destination. Every joyride should include a can't-miss stop along the route, where we can regroup and be refueled by the Holy Spirit. It's important in your faith journey not to miss the movement of the Holy Spirit in your life. How will you open yourself up to God? How will you open yourself up to God's Holy Spirit? Now, there's always a temptation to do things in your own strength, but when you do, you will run out of gas and be set back with frustration and hopelessness like I was on that night of my wedding rehearsal. And when we try to do God's work relying on our own strength, we're like glasses poured out emptied. When we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, we are not empty. We are filled with the flow of God's power. And the Spirit gives us a fresh vision for God's ministry. It gives us the desire and motivation to do it, and the assurance that God will get us there even if we don't exactly know how or when. The power of the Holy Spirit, my friends, is not just given to a few, but to a community of believers. So let me ask you this. How will your church use what the Spirit is offering to you? How will your church become a church that, through the Holy Spirit, is more reflective of the community around you? How will you grow? How will you all grow in diversity, in missional outreach, in hospitality, and your presence in your community? When I think of Holy Spirited power, I think of a young boy whose parents became members of the church that I serve today. This boy is so filled with the Holy Spirit that he makes his family listen to him teach them about Jesus. He literally sits them down and tells them about Jesus and Jesus' love for them. And then he serves them communion with acorns and juice, whatever juice he has around. I find that really funny. It's really cute. You know, he is so filled with the Spirit that he wants to reenact what he is experiencing at church. And he wants his family to go through that reenactment with them. That little boy has the power and the desire to grow God's kingdom. And you know what? We can too. All we need to do is be willing to pause, to stop steering our own car and allow the Holy Spirit to feed and fuel us and to steer us. Like gas, the Holy Spirit, my friends, is worth stopping for. Because when we're fueled and God begins to drive us, there is nothing that will get in our way of ministry. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, let us not forget to stop along the way in our journey, to pause, to rest, to regroup, and to be refueled by the Holy Spirit. Lord, stopping doesn't mean we're doing nothing, that we're slacking off or just deciding to stall along the way for the heck of it, but stopping actually means that we are regrouping and and allowing you to be the one who takes the wheel. Sometimes we forget, Lord, that we're not the ones who have the wheel. You are. And we need to let you be the one who refuels us and guides us along this journey. Sometimes, Lord, we need to stop for gas. Sometimes we need to stop just to take it all in, to see the view and to take in all that is around us and all that you're leading us through. And for both reasons, things sometimes are just worth stopping for. And so, Lord, help us to be a people who stop, who regroup, and allow you to guide us from where we are to where you are calling us to be. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. So friends, I'd like to thank you for tuning in to this, again, part two of a five-part series entitled Joyride, and this specific message was worth stopping for. And I thank you for stopping for a moment to listen to this and to reflect on it. I hope it challenges you. I hope that you begin to turn your life and your journey over to God so that God may guide you and refuel you and send you into this world with all the power and the passion of the Holy Spirit. I would like to invite you to check out the episode notes where you can go to the Life Giving Water swag store and support us by buying our neat and awesome swag. Also, you can support this ministry by going to wherever you listen, whatever platform you listen to it on, and rating us and leaving us a good review. That helps bump us up in the listings on Apple, iTunes podcasts and Google Play Music and Spotify or wherever you listen to us. You can subscribe to us on our website as well, lifegivingwatermsg.org. In the meantime, friends, I want to remind you that you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.